All right, anybody remember what we talked about last week? Hey, you should have been. Take off your hood. And so we had people that literally ripped their hoods off last week. That was not what I was trying to communicate, but it works. It instilled something in somebody. No, we talked about hoods off. We've been in this series about relationships, how we relate to each other, how we're called to, as Christians, respond and relate to one another, live with each other, what that looks like, right? And so last week, I talked a little bit about, and I was referring to Halloween. I used it on purpose as a Halloween message, talking about masks or hoods that we put on, talking about how we can find our confidence in things, right? We can find our confidence, and I talked about specifically, I used to find my confidence in my hoodies, right? When I put on a hoodie, I'd feel bigger, I'd feel stronger, felt like I could attack Brad and he wouldn't even notice, right? You start to find your security in certain things or your confidence in certain things where you put that on or you lift a lot of weights and your muscles get nice and big. You find your confidence in that, right? Your appearance, the things that you wear, your makeup, guys. It's terrible, right? We start to find our confidence in things or in people, right? We start to find our confidence in others. We're more confident when Brandon's around us because he makes us more confident, right? Right? We find our confidence in others. But when we do that, that's when we have these highs and we have these lows because our confidence doesn't stay. It leaves. If we don't have our hoodie on, we're not confident. So we got skinny little arms and we don't want people looking at us or me. Right? That's how we start to feel, right? We start to lose our confidence when that thing is not around us. So we're going to go a little bit off of this same kind of idea and thought, but I want to switch gears. So we talked about finding our confidence in God, right? Find our confidence in Him. Paul talked about how we're not called to find our confidence in the flesh and our abilities and our own outward appearance and the things that we can do, but that we find our confidence in Christ. He said if anybody could find their confidence in what they did, it was Him, right? Because on the outside, He looked blameless. He's a pretty good-looking guy. Actually, I don't think He was. But He had all of the things and all the criteria and all the knowledge that seemed like He was perfect on the outside and seemed like He had everything together, right? But then when He found Jesus, He said, what I have now in Christ, when I compare everything I used to have, I see it as nothing, right? And that's what we're called to live as, is that we find our confidence in Him and not in the things around us. Now I want us to switch gears a little bit into the way that we see other people, right? In the same way that you have this security blanket, in the way that you have these things that build up your confidence, in the way that you hide the things that are really going on inside of you, others have those same kind of things, right? And in the same way that we are called to find our confidence in God, the same way we look at other people, we should see them in the eyes of God, right? That we should have confidence in God in them. That makes sense, that we have confidence in what God is doing in them and the work that He's beginning and accomplishing inside of them. So turn with me to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians 1:3. Anybody with their Bibles? Hey, that is your phone, but it'll work. Philippians 1. Philippians 1:3. Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my requests for all of you with joy. Say with joy. Three of you said that. With joy. For you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue His work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. So it is right that I should feel as I do about all of you. For you have a special place in my heart. You share with me the special favor of God, both in my imprisonment and in the defending and confirming the truth of the good news. What's the good news? Hey, everybody that says Jesus for every answer, there you go. You got it. The good news is the gospel. It's Jesus, right? It's His life, His death, His resurrection. That's the good news. God knows how much I love you and long for you with the tender compassion of Christ Jesus. How many of you talk to each other like that? I long for you with the tender compassion. You guys talk to each other like that? That's awesome. A little weird, but cool. For I want you to understand what really matters so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ. For this will bring you much glory and praise to God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. God, we thank you that you are living in us. God, that you're speaking to us tonight. And Father, I'm praying, Lord, tonight that we would find our joy in you. We would find our strength in you. And God, we would find joy in other people, in our relationships with others. And the way that we see them would be new. God, you would renew our mind. You would change our mindset. And God, you would make us more and more like you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so let's start with a little bit of context. We're just going to jump right into this scripture here. First of all, where is Paul when he's writing this? Prison. Prison. Good answer. He's in prison, right? So he's writing this letter. We have to understand this. He is not able to get to them, to the church of Philippi, because he is in prison. There we go. Hey, same person. One person's got this. He's in prison, so he's not able to see them. And also, when we think he's in prison, he's in there for what? For Jesus, for spreading the gospel, for spreading the good news. He is thrown into prison. He's in cuffs. He cannot get out. Now, we know that Paul's been in prison before, and God's just miraculously set him free and set him out, and that happens. But in this moment, he is stuck. He's in chains. Now, that's the first thing that we got to know, is that Paul is there. He's in prison. He's writing this church that he started. He was the pastor at. But he cannot return to this, to them in this moment. But he's hearing information about them. He's hearing about the church. He's always having people that come and tell him how it's going. Timothy, one of his disciples, is out there, and he's going to be pastoring that church. And so he's getting this information of how the church of Philippi is doing, right? And he's getting the good information, but he's also getting the struggles and the things that they're going through, right? And so when we think about this, we think first, Paul's in prison. He has this information about this church of Philippi, and he has this letter that he's writing them. Just one letter, right? He can't go there and be with them and preach all these other sermons and messages and tell them everything that they're struggling with and how God is going to take care of them. All he has is this letter to communicate to them. So he's trying to pile in everything that he can to communicate to this church, and that's the way that he's pastoring them and caring for them and looking out for them. Right? So he has this. But another thing that we know is that when he was in Philippi, he doesn't have the best memories of Philippi. He was beaten. He was beaten in a lot of places, but he was beaten there. He was put in the stocks in front of everybody, right? He did start a church, and he did see a lot of people come to know him and know Jesus, right? But he also had a lot of trauma, a lot of hard times in Philippi. Now he's back in prison, right? And he's writing this church. And so when we look at the first thing, after taking the context of that, we look at the first thing that he says. Basically, first he says, this is Paul. I'm thankful for who you are, for this church. And that's the first words that basically come out of his mouth. We look in verse 3. Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my request for all of you with joy. Now, this word stands out to me, with joy. Again, Paul's in prison. Now, how many of you have been to prison? Hopefully none of you. I call you out right now. Nice. Right, Paul is in prison, and he's not in prison for murdering somebody. No, he should have been in his old day. But he was in prison for preaching the good news of Jesus. Now, he's in chains right now. Right, but he is filled with joy. Now, when we think about the circumstances around Paul, he's in prison, he's hearing of this church that has some struggles, has some things that's going on in there, but he cannot go and he cannot communicate to them. So all the circumstances around him are pointing towards him being filled with joy, right? No. The circumstances are not around him that he's so excited. He's in prison, right? He's in chains, and he has no way to communicate to this church except through this letter. But In the midst of all of that, Paul is filled with joy, excitement. He says, every time I think about you, I'm filled with joy. Every time I think about who you are and what you've done and all the times that we had together and all these memories that we have. But then when we look back to the memories, he didn't have all perfect memories with them. And he's just heard this news of the stuff that is going on in the church, all these quarrelings, all these bickerings, right? They have all these disagreements, right? We know the church has so many different doctrines and beliefs and disagreements. That's why there's so many denominations, right? Well, in the same way in this church, there was all these disagreements and people were just arguing about things. They weren't going out loving people. They weren't going out and some of them were, but for the most part, they were quarreling. They were bickering. There were issues within the church. And so his heart is probably hurting for that, but he still says, man, I'm filled with joy when I think about you. He's not thinking about the things that they're struggling with. He's not just dwelling on how, man, I wish I could be there so I can line them out. I can go there and I could just challenge them and just set straight all these things. Probably thinking things like, man, I know I've talked to them about this before. I know I preached a message exactly like this. But they're still bickering. They're still upset at each other. They're still not getting along. They're still not loving each other. And all I ever preach on is love. But they can't even do that. But Paul's not thinking that. He's thinking, man, I'm filled with joy. I almost punched you in the face. I'm filled. My heart is full when I think of you. I'm filled with this excitement about what God is doing amongst you. And then the next part that we see, and this is the important part that we want to take here. Let me find it. Is in verse 6. Right? So he's telling them, look, let's read back a little bit first. Whenever I pray for all of you, I'm praying with joy for that you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. And I am certain, this is the part right here, and I am certain that God who began the good work within you will continue his work until it is finally finished to the day of Christ Jesus, to the day Christ Jesus comes back. When we look at this word joy, when we look at the Greek, and it has two words that it puts together, almost all Greek words are like this. The two words that it's putting together is first of all, joy, and the second part is grace. Joy and grace. Sorry, I've lost my spot. Here we are. Joy is because of grace. You and I have joy because of grace. Now, what is grace? When we break out grace, grace is the work of the Holy Spirit inside of us. Working in us and working through us. The power of the Holy Spirit in you is his grace. Now joy comes from recognizing the grace of God in you and that power of God working through you. That's where joy is rooted. Joy is not rooted in our circumstances. And when we look at Paul's situation, there is nothing around it that points to he should be filled with joy. Right? All the things pointing is sadness, depression, anger, frustration. But Paul finds joy in the midst of all of that because he recognizes the grace of God, the work of the Holy Spirit in him, in his own life, and in the lives of the people around him. That's what this joy is talking about, is it's us recognizing God in our lives, the work of God inside of us coming through us. That's what brings you joy. And that's why Paul could find joy in the midst of what he was going through. So when he thought of that church, he thought, man, I'm filled with joy because I know that God who started a good work inside of you is going to finish it. He's going to complete it. It was all about him trusting God. Paul was able to trust God in prison. Paul was able to look through the circumstances and trust that God was working in those people in the church. And we are called to have this same kind of joy when we come in relationship with each other, that we are constantly supposed to be filled with joy. Now, does that mean that every conversation we have together is going to be good? Does it mean there aren't going to be any quarrels and bickerings and arguments between each other? That's a literal question. Does that mean that? Not. Absolutely not. Right? We are not perfect. We have frustrations and we have situations that we go through, but we can still find joy in the midst of it when we focus on the grace or the work of God in that person or in ourselves. Paul found joy in the midst of distress. Joy does not just come when everything's going well. Joy doesn't come in this big package that you unwrap and you get super excited about it. That's not joy. That's excitement. That's happiness. But those things come and go, right? When you have Christmas and you get everything that you ever wanted for Christmas, is that joy that it brings? You know the answer because I'm setting you up for it. It brings us happiness. It brings us something for the moment, but it doesn't bring us this continuous joy. It brings us happiness. And Paul, when he's talking to this church, he's not thinking about their situation. Because if Paul was focused on their situation, his letter would go more like, why are you guys continually struggling with the same issues? Or why have you not figured it out after I've spoken these messages to you over and over? Or why are you guys still having these same disputes, these same disagreements that we've talked about, we've gone over? But he's not looking at the situation. He's not looking to point things out. He's not looking to nitpick in their lives. He's trusting that God is working through them. He's trusting in that good work that God has inside of them. He says, I find joy because I'm confident of this one thing, that he who started the work inside of you is going to finish it. Right? And this is the way that we need to see each other in our relationships. We're called to have joy in our relationships. We're called to be filled with love in the way that we communicate to each other. And Paul is talking to the church, so he's talking to believers. So I'm talking in the way that we communicate to each other. We are called to have joy when we see each other. And that doesn't mean that we are always going to be happy with one another. It doesn't mean that we're always going to just see nothing but good in each other. But it's that we focus on the work of God in each other's lives. And we know that the grace of God is working. He's working his way through. He's understanding our weaknesses, our shortcomings, and we are called to live this same way, that we can have joy in the midst of struggles, in the midst of each other not getting along. Joy comes when we recognize that God is in control and that we trust in him. Title of my message is Better Recognize. You better recognize. Turn to your neighbor and say, you better recognize. You better recognize. Right? This is what Paul did. Paul did not see that person, see that church, and see all the things and all their shortcomings and the things that they messed up on. Paul saw the work of God in them. And he recognized that God was at work. He trusted that God's work was better than his work. And this is a thing that I think all of us struggle with. It's when we see issues in the church or we see issues in our relationships, we see issues in each other, we have this tendency to be very critical. Right? We're critically minded. We're very negative in our approach. And this isn't just believers. This is everybody. But even believers, we tend to be negative towards other people. We compare ourselves to others. We put others down. We think we are better than them. This person should be speaking this way. This person should be saying that. The worship isn't good enough. The smell in this room is weird. You know, we're constantly nitpicking at each other. Man, he's wearing that same sweatshirt he wore that last week. Or gosh, he's speaking that same message. He said that 3 weeks ago. Or we have this tendency of, we played that song last week. And we see that in our relationship with each other. We see that in the way that we look at the church. We see that in the way that we look at our families. We have this tendency to be negative because we see the outside only. We see the perspective of what's right in front of us. We see our circumstances rather than what God is doing in them, what God is doing in that place, what God is doing in that person, what God is doing even in us. And so we start to have this negative mindset about ourselves. We start to be critical of ourselves. Man, I should be growing faster than that. Literally, I should be taller. Man, I should be more mature than I am. Those are good things, probably. Right? I should be in this place. Or man, why do I keep struggling with this same sin and this same issue that I have over and over? Or why does this keep happening to me? And right, we focus on the circumstances around us, or we focus on the people around us. And that is what starts to shape our attitudes. It's what starts to shape our mindsets. And that's why we start to be negative. We start to be closed-minded towards people. We start to nitpick at little things that people are doing wrong. And we start to have this prideful approach in the way that we see relationship with people. Of thinking we're better than them. Thinking we're smarter, we're more intelligent. Right? And we start comparing ourselves with other people because we're starting to see that negative through that negative mindset. We start to see just the issues. See, if Paul was looking merely at the issues, the letter would have went completely different. But Paul didn't look at the issues. He didn't look at the circumstances. He didn't look where he was at. But he said, I trust God. I trust the work that God is doing in my life. I trust that if God wants me out of prison, he's going to break me out. I trust that if God wants me in prison, maybe I'm going to lead all these guards to Jesus. I'm trusting that God wants me here in this place, or he would allow me to come out. He would break me through. He would take me out of this circumstance, out of this situation. If God wanted me at the Church of Philippi, I would be there. But I'm trusting that this is where God wants me. This is what God has for me. And I'm trusting that God is doing a work in these people even when I'm not there. Even though I'm not there, just telling them, speaking it right in their ears. And we have to trust this in each other. That God is doing the same work that he's doing in us, in the people around us. That we don't nitpick on each other. Man, why does Josh wear this sweatshirt? Actually, I like this sweatshirt. Or why does this person always talk so funny? Why does this person always talk about me while you're talking about them? Why is this person always gossiping? Why is this person always so negative? And we're always seeing the outward appearance of people around us. Not just the appearance, but their personality, the things that they say. And we start nitpicking and we start pointing things out in each other. And we're not building up the church. We're slowly tearing each other apart. Right? And God wants us to be love and example of joy to the entire world. But it starts with the way that we love and have joy around each other. And if we can't have love for each other and we don't find joy when we're around each other, we're just nitpicking. How are we going to be a light to this world? How are we going to be example to this world? And Paul was setting the example to them by showing that he found joy in them. He knew the circumstances. He knew what they were going through. But he was filled with this joy, with this love, with this excitement because, not because he trusted in himself, not because he trusted in them, but because he trusted in the work of God inside of them. He recognized the grace of God was at work. And we have to recognize the grace of God in each other. That, yeah, we're still growing. Yeah, we're still being sanctified. Yeah, it's a process of God weeding the things out of us and molding us and chiseling off the excess stuff that doesn't belong. But we have to have understanding for each other and mercy for each other. And knowing that God sees each one of us in these eyes of love, that he sees past our weaknesses. Right? Hebrews 4 says that we have this high priest that understands our weaknesses. He understands us because he's been tempted. He's been tried. But he lived a perfect life for us. And he understands that we're not going to get it right and we're not going to be perfect. But he wants us to live this life of love and joy in the way that we see each other. We should be so excited when we see each other. Not negative. Not, oh God, you smell bad. Not, really, you wearing that again? Not, would you stop talking like that? Your voice is annoying me. No, that we get filled with joy and excitement just to see each other, because we know that God is doing a work in them and God is doing that same work inside of us, right? And that we can have joy in our own lives because we know that God's at work, that God is in control, that you don't have to be the one to take control of your life, but that you recognize that God is the one in control of your life. If you're lacking joy in your life, if you're lacking joy around certain people, it's probably because we're not recognizing that God is at work. We're not trusting that God is doing something great. We're not believing that God is doing something great in them. We're not believing that God's doing something great in us. And we're trying to approach it and trying to take it all and figure it all out ourselves. And it ends up being our own pride that gets in the way. And that's when we start being negative. If you're full of pride, you're going to be pretty negative towards other people because you think that you've got it figured out better. And you think that you know more. And we have this attitude of pride towards each other, not this attitude of joy, not this attitude of love and understanding and bringing each other along. I'm not trying to rebuke all of this. This is something that I'm going through, of recognizing God at work in other people. At recognizing that they're at the place that God wants them to be, and God will control that and work it out, that I don't have to go control people. That's my own pride if I'm thinking I've got to control other people. But that I'm trusting the work of God and I'm loving them. I'm being filled with joy and compassion. I'm going towards them in excitement and joy to see them, rather than have this little edge towards people or this little bitterness. Right? If we have this bitterness, if we have frustration towards other, we need to recognize that God is at work in them. In the same way that he's still working in you, we see all the stuff in our own lives. We see our shortcomings. And it's easy for us to see the shortcomings in other people too. But what's hard to do is pull out that greatness inside of them sometimes. What's hard to do is see beyond that and just trust that God's doing something and believe in them and love them. And that's what Paul sets this tone to this entire message. This entire letter that he writes them is all about relationship. It's all about the way that they communicate to each other, all about the way that they love each other. And he knows that they're struggling in this area, but he doesn't come straight out and say, I know you're struggling. He says, I'm filled with joy when I think about you. It's the way of his heart is pastoral and loving and caring and saying, I understand where you're at. But he encourages them. He believes in them. He said, God is doing this work in your heart. And how good is that work that he's doing in you? And I'm so filled with joy because I see that God's doing good things in you. I see that God is at work. We've got to learn to let go of trying to control things, trying to control our situations, of trying to control ourselves and control other people, and point out the things that people are doing wrong, and learn to let God be the one that's in control of them, and God be the one that's in control of us, and trusting in him, believing in him, right? It's not to say that we don't ever challenge each other, we don't ever encourage each other, we don't ever motivate each other to step up. That's part of it. And Paul does that. And he starts to say that in his letters. He starts to give them little challenges. But the way that he does it is out of love, out of this joy that he has for them. And in the same way, we should be living that life to each other. That we are filled with joy in the way that we see each other. And we're trusting God is doing something that I can't even see. But I'm believing that he has this figured out. It's not about all these rules. It's not about doing it right. It's not about them being wrong and us being right. It's us believing that God is doing something great. Romans 14:17. So read this. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you serve Christ with this attitude, you will please God, and others will approve of you too. So then, let us aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up. Right? He's saying the kingdom of God, and this is Paul talking again, this is to the Romans, right? the church in Rome, is that the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink. So there were these differences in what they ate, if what they were eating was holy or if what they were eating was clean or unclean, right? And he's addressing this specific issue, but he's talking beyond that. He's talking about the law. He's talking about not just following these rules or the way that the law was in the Old Testament, right? He's trying to break in the book of Romans, he's trying to break this idea of we're stuck on this law and trying to teach that Jesus came to fulfill the law, right? That we are not just supposed to do all these rules. The rules in the law was set to show us that we couldn't figure it out. And we couldn't do it on our own. And that's why we needed Jesus. So Paul is trying to address this and say, it's not about this law. It's not about the rules. It's not about you doing it right and everybody else doing it right. It's about Jesus. It's about the work of Jesus inside of them. It's about the work of Jesus inside of you. Right? It's about living that full life of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. We are called to have that full joy living inside of us, and that's the work of God. That's the Holy Spirit working through us. The kingdom is not about rules. Our lives is not about us getting it all figured out right. So it should not be about us pointing out each other's mistakes and when we make it wrong. It's about living a righteous life for Christ. It's about living a life of the Holy Spirit living through you, filling you with joy. You should have joy all the time. There's so many people that are so sad always. Why? When Christ is living inside of you and you focus on the work of God in you, why should you be so sad? Yeah, your circumstances could bring you up and set you down. Yeah, you go through tough times and difficult times, but Paul's in prison filled with joy. And Peter says the same thing in 1 Peter. He says, consider it pure joy when you have sufferings and struggles. How? Are you supposed to have joy in the midst of crap going on in your life? Because you're trusting God. You're recognizing that God is in control and you're not. You're recognizing that God is bigger than you are. He's bigger than your circumstance. And that God is for you. He is completely for you. There's nothing in God that wants to rebuke you and just kick you out and make you feel all beaten up and condemned. God sees you and he sees love. He sees joy. He sees this peace. Yeah, he wants you to come to him. Yeah, he wants you to keep growing in him. But it's all about your relationship with God. And that's what Paul is bringing up to them and showing them. He's leading by example, is that you can find joy in the midst of heartache, in the midst of struggle. And the way that you do it is that you recognize God. You recognize that God is in the midst. So that's the first thing that Paul is communicating here. He's communicating a lot of things, but the first thing that I want us to take away is Paul is communicating to them is first recognize God. You can have joy when you recognize God. When you're starting to struggle and you feel like you're depressed, you feel like you're sad all the time, you feel like something's not going right, you feel like you're constantly in fear, you're constantly wondering what other people are thinking of you, you're constantly judging other people. Recognize God. Recognize what he's doing. Recognize that you're still in the process of sanctification. Recognize that he's in control of your life. When you're bitter towards people, recognize that God is doing something in them. When you're constantly annoyed with people, recognize that God's still at work. Especially those who are unbelievers. God hasn't even started his work yet. There's a lot of work to be done in them. But recognize that God is moving and he's moving in you as well. So the first thing that he wants, that I want us to take out of this, is that Paul finds joy with them by recognizing God. And then the second thing that he does is he believes in them and he calls out the best in them. He doesn't just say, I'm filled with joy when I'm around you, and then carry on and stay in chains. But he starts believing in them. He starts calling out life in them. He starts praying over them. And I want us to read in verse 9, Philippians 1:9. I pray that your love will overflow more and more, that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding for I want you to understand what really matters. So see, he's hitting this whole issue of the way that they relate to each other, but he's hitting it in this way of love. I find joy when I think about you. I know God is doing this work in you. And then I'm praying that your love will overflow more and more, that you will keep on growing in your knowledge and understanding. He's saying so that you can treat others in that same way that I'm treating you right now. For I want you to understand what really matters, not the disagreements between them, not what somebody's doing wrong, not where you can find that mistake that they made. What really matters, so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation. I love that part. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation. When David writes in the Psalms, he says, Lord, bring the joy of my salvation to me. When we think of our salvation, we think of where God took us out of and brought us into. That should bring us joy. It might bring some tears. It might bring some sadness in that. But it brings joy in that God has taken you out of this old life and brought you into this new one. And so he says, I pray that you would have joy in thinking of your salvation. You'd be remembered of this. And that you would continue to live the same life in the same way towards other people. Paul is encouraging them in the same way that Paul saw joy when he saw them. He's encouraging them to do the same thing in other people. We are called to live this life of believing in people, of building them up, of having joy when we're around them, and not being annoyed with each other, not being frustrated with each other, not being always on edge around certain people, but that we are constantly filled with joy and that we're building each other up, even when we're frustrated. Paul was probably a little frustrated about what was going on in the church, but he treated them with love and joy. We can still find joy in the midst of frustrations, in the midst of anger, in the midst of whatever is going on in your life. You can find joy, but you have to recognize God. First, you better recognize. Recognize him and what he's doing. Recognize that he is stronger than you. Recognize that his plan is better than yours. If you're frustrated about where you're at and you're feeling like you're in the same place and you're feeling like your hope is kind of deferred and going away, recognize that God is still at work. And the little things that you don't notice, he's moving. God doesn't take naps. He doesn't take breaks where he just pieces out for a while. He's constantly moving. We just have to learn to recognize that God is on the move, that God is with us, that God is for us constantly. So recognize God and then start believing in others. 1 Thessalonians 5:10, Christ died for us, so that whether we are dead or alive when he returns, we can live with him forever. So encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. We need to build each other up. In order to break that critical mindset, the way that you see people, of constantly being negative towards others, the way that we break that is by building that person up. Is by showering that person with love, by believing in that person, right? Even though you see all these things that frustrate you about them, even though you want to have this attitude and you want to just pick on them, start building them up. Start believing in them. What Paul did was he started praying for them. I see you, David. I love you too, man. He started praying for them and believing in them. This is how we are called to live, that we would be filled with joy when we see each other, that we would trust God, we would recognize God in the lives of other people, we would recognize God in our own life, we would have this understanding of each other's weaknesses, and that we would build each other up. We would believe in one another. How much more powerful can we as the church be if we actually believed in each other? If we actually built each other up? You know, one thing that many unbelievers see in the church is that the church is negative and critical. Man, the church should be the most uplifting and most encouraging people, right? And that starts with us and the way that we treat each other, that we should be encouraging over one another. We would build each other up. We would speak words of life, not negativity. Not speak to our friends about how this person's struggling and what's going on in their life. And why wouldn't they just get better? And why don't they just shut up and quit talking? But that we would start believing in each other. We would start recognizing God in one another. And even though they're struggling, we can see, man, maybe God's doing a work inside of them. And we start having some more mercy for them. And we allow the grace of God to work through us and believe in them and empower them. Amen. Will you stand with me? May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ. For this will bring much glory and praise to God. That we would remember our own salvation. We would remember what God has done in our lives. That we would have this understanding for each other and we would find joy. God wants us to be filled with joy. This should be a time of celebration when we come together, that we are filled with this joy and this love for each other. The way that we interact with each other is how we're going to go out into the world. If we can't love each other, how are we going to love the world? How are we going to love unbelievers? Find joy in your relationships and trust that God is doing a work in you and he's doing a work in each other. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. God, we thank you that you were speaking life into us. And God, help us to be encouraged today. Not discouraged about what we've done, not discouraged about how we've seen people, but God, that you would renew our mind and make us more like you, Father, that we would be a church filled with love and joy and peace and hope in one another and believing in each other. God, help us to be a powerful movement of empowering each other, of building each other up, of pulling the best out of one another, God. Father, help us to look to you and recognize you in all of our situations, that we wouldn't be filled with this fear and filled with insecurities, but we'd be filled with confidence and trust that you are at work in us, God. Father, we love you, we praise you, we thank you that you are in us and working through us today. Be with us this week and continue to lift us up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, this is not to beat us up. Look, it's to encourage us. The way that we see each other should be out of love, should be out of this joy, out of this excitement. So I expect everybody jumping up and down at the end of this message. Go give somebody a big hug and encourage people this week. Amen.